Hello, friends. This is Patrick McFarland of the Liberty Bigly podcast, also Liberty Weekly, coming at you with another episode. And you are the Liberty Weekly elite if you listen to Liberty Bigly. And it's almost kind of like getting super duper bonus content and maybe like Patreon content level. It's been a long time since I released a podcast on Liberty Bigly, so I'm wondering if you guys are still subscribed to this RSS feed, subscribed to this podcast. And yeah, because the last episode has like 67 listens, and it's quite a bit more than the other podcast episodes on this feed. So I promise I won't like yawn or anything. Maybe I will. I try not to, but on this podcast, because usually I can record just with my phone and I do it in bed or at night or whenever I feel like it. But kind of back in the saddle with Liberty Weekly, I just recorded a podcast today with Keith Knight that I tried to release on the Patreon feed, but Patreon wouldn't let me log in. And I'm wondering why that is. And at first I thought I'd been canceled, but there was like this thing with confirmation emails. So anyways, well, I wanted to celebrate the release and kind of promo the release of my podcast, my new podcast, which is entitled Unhallowed, and I'm the host of that show with my wife, Lizzie, and we released it, and so it's on iTunes, and it just got approved today, so it's listed in the iTunes directory now, so you can go on any podcatcher and seek that out. So yeah, it felt really good to get back in the saddle with Keith. I wanted to make this episode of Liberty Bigly just to kind of talk about like a behind the scenes kind of my thought process or what I think about like a journal of sorts with getting back into podcasting. And I really feel like since returning to the show and kind of the hiatus that I took, which ended up lasting, I don't know, the better part of 9 or 10 months. And I guess I released one or two episodes in that span and tried to get back in the saddle, but it just wasn't working out. And I just didn't feel like doing anything really. And, you know, throughout this whole time, I've listened a lot to Tim Pool. So I've still been in the world of politics, but what I really think I did is I was able to emotionally unplug from a lot of this stuff, and because I feel like a big part of my identity when I was podcasting regularly for quite some time was being a libertarian, and I think I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, and I don't know how many people are still kind of left in that world, because when I was podcasting a lot, and I was pretty absorbed in the liberty world. I don't know if I was projecting my own feelings that so much of who you are, you know, being a libertarian can become so much of who you are and what your identity is. And I realized with doing the Unhallowed podcast, and I started listening to other podcasts that aren't libertarian podcasts, like spooky stuff. And I like, for instance, Scared to Death is a podcast that I've been listening to that's really good. And it's mostly ghost stories and stuff like that. And I've also been listening to this show called Lights Out podcast, which the hosts are kind of not super duper intelligent, but they do interesting deep dives on some spooky stories, but serial killers and mass murderers and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool, and it astounds me how many downloads they have and how many followers and subscribers they have, because it really is a lot more than people in our sphere do. It's actually probably Tom Woods level audience size. And so it made me think that, you know, if you just work hard and you have a podcast that's in a niche that isn't made up of, you know, radical anarchists of the libertarian variety, which there are probably maybe 60,000 in the entire United States, and of those 60,000, maybe 20 or 30,000 listen to podcasts, Maybe I'm just being facetious. It's probably bigger than 60,000 because I think Dave Smith's audience is in the hundreds of thousands per episode, maybe even bigger than Tom Woods' show. But Tom Woods' listeners are probably, most of them are probably pretty devout. I'm just thinking out loud here, which is what I usually do on this show. But Tom Woods' listeners, I think, are, they have to be pretty much your Austro-libertarian types for the, I'd say maybe 80 or 90% of the audience. I have nothing to back this up except anecdotes. But if you are, it just seems to me that if you are in a bigger ocean, so to speak, if you're a fish in a bigger ocean, you have more chance of getting a larger audience with a show topic that isn't quite as eclectic. And plus, there's so many libertarian podcasts out there. There's just a lot. And I know in this show, I had an episode about, are there too many libertarian podcasts? And I didn't think so. I still don't think there's ever too many libertarian podcasts. But if you're looking to do something like make money or have your show listened to by a lot of people, maybe it's not the best thing. There's just a lot of competition, you know, for certain space. And if you, unless you have the time to put the hours into it, that would, that necessitate, that a large podcast necessitates, perhaps, if you don't have that time, you probably won't break it through. And if you do have the time, it might take 8 or 10 years. I mean, Dave Smith started off with nothing, it sounds like to me. And now he has one of the biggest libertarian podcasts out there. But there's a lot of great libertarian podcasts that are hard to break through. And it seems like in some part it's kind of about who you know or what circles you're able to break into. So, I don't know. It's just, I'm eager to see how the podcast that my wife and I are doing. And granted, it's not a super large niche, but I've only been able to find 2 or 3 podcasts that actually talk about gothic horror stories. And one is the H.P. Lovecraft podcast, which is like, has, I don't know, thousands of Patreon supporters. So they must have an audience that's huge. Unless, and they've been around for like 8 or 10 years too. So but there's another one called Sublimely Gothic that maybe isn't the greatest podcast that I've heard, but they have just started out too. So that will probably change. But at the same time, I haven't been able to find any other podcast that explicitly talk about the stories that we're talking about. And I'm hoping to actually grow an audience that would be interested in these kind of stories too, because there's a lot there. There's a lot of content and substance there. You just have to be willing to look for it. I mean, there's a lot of really rich, scary stories from, but there, some of them are written, well, a lot of them are written in Victorian times or the early 20s, and literature, blasé literature back then was more technical and less accessible than novels are today. And what I mean by that is trashy dime novels, even the content of those trashy dime novels were more intricate and literary appealing than most novels on the market today. Most like serious books on the market today. Like your average Stephen King novel isn't as classy sounding as the trash literature from the 1800s. So, yeah, but it felt good to get on the horn with Keith again today. And I thought I'd try and resurrect this podcast feed for whoever wants to, whoever's been following it. I've always considered the people who would listen to Liberty Bigly are probably people who are into Liberty Weekly enough to want to listen to some kind of a super informal, rambly B-side podcast. And maybe you
Maybe you guys enjoy that. So just wanted to say hi and kind of put my thoughts out there. Check out check out Unhallowed at unhallowedpodcast.com. I wanted to plug that. And there's an interview coming out with Keith Knight that I'm either going to drop today or tomorrow. But we're going to talk about, we talked about voting, and we talked to kind of tried to dissect everything in that realm and all our thoughts, kind of the way that Keith and I do and have done for our show. And I can still remember one of the first times that I did a show with Keith, and that was like probably in 2016 or 2017. And it was right when Keith was starting to do stuff, or around that time, I think. And, you know, Keith just took off. And it, to me, it sounds like we talked today about how he started doing this. And I think he read a book and he just thought, oh, I think it was Edward Stringham was one of his first interviews, maybe. And he was talking about that in some of the bonus content that we recorded, but he just all of a sudden decided to do it. And his first one was a little bumpy, but he just kept at it and kept at it. And now, you know, he's just pumping out content like a fiend. So we're lucky we have him on our side. But anyways, just some random thoughts about getting back into the saddle. I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll talk to you next time.